You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right. When you hear Francis Albert, that means we're in the third hour of Wake Up Tucson. It's already been quite a hoot already, this show. And because it's been such a hoot, I've been forgetting to tell everyone that Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. is our spring soiree on St. Phillips Plaza outside. Reforma is going to be doing Taco Tequila Tuesday, Union Public House, Proof Pizza. Party starts at 5, live music starts at 6. If you're someone who is new blood interested in running for office, Shelley Kice will be there, I'll be there, and we will help you if you want to jump in there, because we need some new blood. But please join us 5 o'clock on Tuesday and email me at wakeuptucsoncomments@gmail.com to RSVP, because, you know, I don't want Joe Higgins waiting more than 4 minutes for his Corona Ultra or whatever he's ordering.
Yeah, so. Michelob Light Ultra. Spritzer.
Great to have you back today,
thank
Joseph.
Thank you. Always a joy.
And joining us for the third hour is our quiet wallflower, Francis Antonori.
It's like a family reunion almost here. I mean, it's like
the band's back together.
I'm telling you, this is old school here, man.
I will tell you, my favorite episode we did was when they killed Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
And you broke it down because you were in that world, right? You said, okay, the pitch of the airplane, and they practice, and you did this 15-minute spiel, and I put it on YouTube. There is almost 600,000 views
of
that.
It's the greatest viewed Wake Up Tucson segment in history is you breaking down the bin Laden kill. So
I wasn't even there.
Correct.
You went through it like, here's what's happening, and here's how they're preparing, and here's who's coming in. And
yeah, the tactics and what we did, you know, are very similar. I mean, the SEALs do have some differences. We do things a little differently, but generally it's the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was awesome to listen to. And we just sat out of it. Chris and I just shut up and let you go. And it was,
I really
like,
missed that world. Let's put it this way. I visit that world because of, you know, the side things that I do.
I get
very sentimental when I'm there.
Sure.
And it just seeing these younger guys. I'm an old guy now. I am literally the guy you read about in a history book now.
Yeah.
And you go in there and there's these, you know, when I first joined.
Did you give them the old back when in there?
I went through special forces training, I was 23 years old. I was 24 when I graduated. And got my Green Beret, and I'm 54 now, so that's 30 years ago.
Yeah,
sure.
So you go in there now, and these guys are 25, 30 years younger than you, and they look up to you, and you're in the book. You're one of those guys that they read about coming through the Q course. They hear the stories. They see everything, and then they just look at you so differently. And you're just like, no, dude, I'm a team guy, right, just like you. And they're like, no, you're not a team guy. You know, no, right. I am. I'm a team guy.
Right.
And I just miss it. And I wish my body and my ability was still there.
Think how blessed you are to be able to kind of be in that world a little, supporting it.
Yeah. And I think that helped me a lot with my transition, because a lot of guys have a hard time, and I actually did too. When I first came out, some of you guys know that when I ran for office, I still had the Green Beret, going on full steam. And the transition from that life to this life is sometimes tough. And you know, you're surrounded by guys, and this is the funny thing. I kind of was talking to a buddy of mine about this the other day. I never looked at anybody on my team differently based on where they came from, what color they were, their background. I knew they got there because they had a skill set that if they didn't have it, they wouldn't be sitting there.
And a mentality.
Right? Yeah. And you, the utmost respect for everybody was unbelievable. We had this respect. It didn't matter. We all bled red.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it didn't matter what was on the outside. Everybody knew that if something went through you really fast, it was going to make a big hole and you were going to bleed a certain color.
Sure.
And we didn't care. And we operated the cohesiveness, the tightness. To this day, I still stay in touch with all my buddies on that team. And I don't know why the, you know, you were talking with Biggs later, why the left is inherent on destroying that. I mean, they are literally now trying to take the military, which was one of the places where, you know, integration, you could honestly say, really worked.
Sure.
You know, and they're destroying that now. They're going after people In the military now, there's a witch hunt going on through the ranks right now. They are purging the military of anybody that they think is a Trumper. And you're seeing the scrutiny of this, and you're like, why? I mean, when Obama came in, he wiped out every single general that he thought wasn't loyal to the left wing cause. And it's worse now. They're not just wiping out the generals. They're wiping out the colonels. They're wiping out the majors, the sergeants. And, you know, they're taking all of what would be, and, you know, I think you mentioned it earlier, the machismo, the guys that were willing to go out there and sleep in the dirt for 6 months straight and freeze their butts off and give up the creature comforts and do the tough job that 99% of Americans would not do. They're now getting rid of those guys.
Well, look what they're doing. Look what they're doing to the police.
Yeah, that's what's scaring me. Yeah. You gotta have the sheepdogs out there. Yeah. You know, we talked about it before, and they're making the military sheep versus sheepdogs.
With your background, when all these generals started kind of rumbling about Trump and McChrystals and all these started coming out and doing side stuff. Yeah. Is that all remnants of the Obama generation?
Yeah, that was all of his guys.
That made me super nervous as a
citizen. And it's going to get that. We got it already. You know, the appearance of that is already occurring, and it goes. But it doesn't really matter because the administration. That's part of the perk of being president. You know, you get to nominate generals you appoint generals. We as a Republican or conservative movement did not do a good job of doing what the left does when they come into office.
Clean house.
Yeah. And that was one of Trump's biggest problems. And it's because he brought establishment Republicans into the White House. Congressmen who are political animals. They're not strategic thinkers.
Right.
And by not bringing in those guys who should have said, you know, Mr. Trump, you need to clean house. You need to do what Joe Biden did, what Barack Obama did, what Bill Clinton did. When they take office, and they did, every U.S. attorney, gone if you're not appointed by me. Every senior cabinet level position and sub-cabinet position, gone.
Yep. Look what the State Department did to him while he was the sitting president,
right?
And the FBI.
He had Reince Priebus in there as his chief of staff, who was doing it from the country club wing of the Republican Party.
Exactly. You've got to do that. And
you're totally right.
What the left has done with what they're doing right now is demonstrate that. And I hope Republicans are paying attention and taking notes.
I once had a fortune cookie that said never trust a guy named Reince. All right, we gotta go. We gotta go visit some great sponsors.
No, you didn't.
Joe Higgins, Christy Simone, Frank Antonori. Also say never get an anal swab for your COVID-19. It's S Day today.
Scorpion, Seeger, Striper.
Correct. So Striper to hell with the devil. We got Joe Satriani, a pretty good S. And a Goomba. Wake up Tucson, 10:30 the voice. So Ray nailed it on this one, right? This is Sergeant Barry Sadler on
S-Day. S-Day.
The Ballad of the Green Beret.
I got to give this credit to the caller.
Nice.
Ah. Recommendation. So.
Does that caller want to be recognized by their first name at least?
I forgot who it was.
We have
Ray's
best.
Like, they're all the same.
Best and smartest.
Kudos to the, you know, and I feel bad now. I feel punked. Because I'm saying Striper, Scorpion, Seeger, and I should have realized Sadler. Yeah. That's on me. Oh, God, I'll never live that down.
So real quick, so John Gabriel from Ricochet, they have that podcast page. He writes for the Arizona Republic once in a while. He also writes for the Washington Examiner. He wrote this story in Arizona called Raising Hell in Arizona. And it's like kind of a short history of kind of where the Arizona GOP has developed, right? From the McCain side of the party, and then you got that Arpaio group coming in. And Joe's here, Higgins, and of course Frank Antonori. I want to reintroduce you guys. So let's start with Frankie. Where are we at as a party right now? You know, because we have this whole thing with Kelly Ward. She was elected. She doesn't want to, you know, show anyone how she got elected. And there seems to be, every time I put anything about Kelly Ward on my Facebook page, I have 50% of the people like, she's the greatest thing since last bread. And 50% like, I can't stand this woman. Every time she opens her mouth, she, you know, basically embarrasses the party. Where are we at as a party?
We are starved for talent. That is our problem.
Right.
Yeah, we don't have anybody with the skill set anymore. The days like we were talking about earlier, the 2008 through 2012 cycle, we had guys like Biggs, you know, that were here. And, you know, you had, I'm not tooting my own horn, but you had me and you had Al Melvin, and you had you know all these guys that had strong, very articulate ways of sharing their views and making the case.
Yeah.
And we don't have that now.
And not flip flopping.
You guys stuck to your guns. We stuck hard, and that even with severe arm twisting, when they tried to twist your arm, we hold the line, and that isn't there now. I mean, I go up to the legislature and I see how things are operating, and I talk to a couple of the new members up there, and I get this vibe that they're just there to do whatever is necessary to stay in the legislature and do whatever they're told to do by people that are donating to their campaign. And it's not the principles that we had back in 2008. And I think we need an awakening, as we were talking during the break. I think we need 4 years of Joe Biden to wake this country up to see what leftist policies do.
I'm okay with 40 days to see what that looks like. We're bombing Syria. Yeah. We're reversing crap all over the place.
We got dudes playing girls girls wrestling
exactly,
now.
Exactly. but I mean the thing in Syria was kind of funny because the report came out about John Kerry and four other members of the administration violating
right.
the Lacey Act.
Yeah,
they were in Iran and they were in other countries too, meeting with Iranian officials
during the Trump administration,
undermining policies of a current, which is again a violation of the Lacey Act.
What's the Lacey Act, real quick?
The Lacey Act prohibits anyone from representing the United States that isn't a duly appointed individual that has been vetted by Congress,
right?
So you have to be appointed and what do they call that word?
Confirmed.
Confirmed.
Yeah.
Exactly. And if you go out and you are visiting countries and telling countries, policies that have not been approved by the official U.S. government entity, which is the State Department and the President, you're violating the law. It's almost seditious activity, right? Yeah. Right. So there's a law against that. This came out of the Civil War when you had everybody trying to cut deals with France and Great Britain,
sneaking around
and doing all this stuff. So there's a reason for this, right? You're undermining the country and you're allowing foreign entities to come in and influence American politics. So the official line of the administration in power is the official line of the administration in power. Evidently, it was okay when Trump was in office to do that. And don't forget, they went after Flynn. So they're going after these guys, and it's just astonishing that they. The double standard, like you were talking about, it's just the hypocrisy.
So Trump rips a bandaid off on Iran, puts sanctions all over the place.
Cripples them.
We bombed Syria yesterday, which was Iranian-backed whatevers. And then at the same day, Biden tells South Korea, hey, give them the $9 billion that you locked down to get back to Iran. So how schizoid, this is one of the questions I had for you today. What is the deal?
That hit today was solely to cover up John Kerry. Because it was starting to get mentioned in the media, and the resonating of weak with Iran the perception of being weak on Iran was starting to percolate up.
Yeah.
So they had to go do that exactly.
So
what
bigger
said.
Question, Chris, Frank.
Yeah, I did Joe last week.
What's behind this Iran thing? Like it seems like peace is kind of happening. Saudi Arabia and Israel are kind of coming together. And then all of a sudden, Biden comes in, we're back to making Iran a strength? Why did Obama do it? Why is Biden do it?
I don't know.
I've been waiting all week for you to ask that question.
I don't know because I was alive and you guys were alive back in 1979 when they took our Americans hostages, and they've been a hostile entity since then. They have killed hundreds and hundreds of American people, citizens through their
They want to bomb Iran. Yeah, they basically support, or Israel. They basically come out and said
they've killed Americans. They've killed hundreds and hundreds of Americans. That was the whole point behind taking out the Iranian general. Yeah.
So think about that though, right? So we take out that general.
Right.
This is one of the big things that happened before COVID took over everything, right?
And he did it with an airstrike, not a Trump basically said, "Fangu, I'm coming at you."
Well, he took him out with a predator and a Hellfire. Yeah,
but they could have made it a quiet little assassination and they could
But remember the Democrats
grace.
Lost their minds on that?
Yeah.
They're like, this is very dangerous. Why would you kill this guy? You're going to put us in more danger now. That's how crazy crap is, right? This guy is responsible for murdering thousands of people.
Yeah.
I just don't understand.
Hundreds of Americans were killed.
I don't understand the chess play that the Democrats want to do with Iran.
It defies all logic.
Yeah.
I cannot understand There's no logical reason. They don't have any economic benefit. They don't have any strategic benefit. They're not going to change the world by trying to bring, I don't get what they're doing. It's not.
And for 50 years with China, we thought, well, introduce the West to them, they'll become Western. They haven't.
No.
So maybe that was the play, but that doesn't seem like it either, because the rhetoric is just as high.
So think about it, we had
South Korea, right, which had been quiet during the, that's going to be the next thing to percolate. North Korea, right? Iran, Russia, and China.
Taiwan.
And look at the Biden administration and the Democrats with these different countries. We know that North Korea just took advantage of the weakness of the Obama administration over time, right? Then we have Iran, whatever you guys just talked about, the insanity of that, right? Hunter Biden in Russia with their daddy and what's going on
and
there.
China.
And then, the idea that we can't say a virus that came from China actually came from China anymore.
Yeah.
And the Confucius Institute. What the hell? And storming Houston, the Houston consulate and kicking them out. I mean, it's an alternative universe, dude. I know, and I watch it all, and I'm like, what am I missing?
It makes absolutely no sense.
Okay, it's not just me then.
No, it's not. I can't figure it out. Okay. I really can't. And you guys were talking about the troops at the Capitol. We got more troops in Washington right now than we have in Afghanistan.
Right.
And people don't realize that. And you tell them that we have actually more troops guarding the Capitol than we have in Afghanistan.
And it's not that.
Stop and think of that. That is like a 12-block by 12-block area.
Yeah. Right.
And we got
it's not 5, the guy 000, with the buffalo hat on that's going to storm the Capitol.
We got 5,000 troops guarding 12 blocks, and we got less than 5,000 in Afghanistan right now.
So Bigsy said that he was briefed on this yesterday. This is what he said in the previous hour, and they're afraid there's going to be a bombing for the State of the Union.
No. Biggs's point is 100% spot on. This is, again, creating the perception that the 79 million people that voted for Donald Trump are terrorists.
Right.
That's all this is. This is a talking point. Don't let the old Rahm Emanuel, don't let a crisis go to waste. This is driving it home. They see an opportunity to exploit the narrative and drive it home.
You're right.
Create an artificial threat for the purposes, like you said, Joe, propaganda.
You're right. You're
to
right.
drive home the point that anybody that didn't vote for Joe Biden is a threat to this nation.
So they just had a poll about, for Democrats and Republicans, what are the things that concern them in the country, right? So Republicans had things like what's going on at the border, right? They had
attack on the Second Amendment.
Right. Yeah. And then the first thing for Democrats, this is one of the questions, Trump supporters.
Yeah.
That was their number one concern in the country. This is the message that's getting molded by the media and the D's, that Trump supporters are, quote, dangerous and we're white supremacists. They always got to keep throwing in which is amazing.
They throw the Nazi thing around, the white supremacy thing around. It's worn out language now. It doesn't hold.
But I think Biggs's
there was a
point,
day when you compared somebody to a Nazi that had some significant credence to that. That was a scary time. They throw it around now like it's nothing. Everybody's a Nazi to them. It has no meaning in it.
They throw around the word Nazi like we use the word jerk.
Kids today don't even know what Nazis are.
Yeah.
Right.
They don't even know what Nazis are. And that's part of the problem. We lost that history. If people knew how bad the Nazis were and the terrible things, but nobody, it's just amazing. But they throw the word around like nothing.
All right. Ray, how are we doing on time? What are we doing here? What do we got here?
All right. Let me ask a quick teaser question.
We got 1 minute.
Teaser question to you, Frank. So we were doing this show for a long time with you and with Chris and every day. When a candidate would run through the primary, they would run to the right. And then all of a sudden the primary's over and they won the primary, they'd run to the middle. Trump never moved to the middle. He stayed to the right. So is the new politics of the future, your camp is over here, my camp's over here, we're looking at the stupid cell phone through social media, and I am going to be in fear if I'm a Democrat, and I'm going to be conspiracy dude if I'm a Republican. Is that where we're at?
That's a beautiful, don't answer it. It's a tease.
You and your commercials are killing me.
That's what happens. We're capitalists here, Joe Higgins. You and Nancy Pelosi can go kiss off.
Okay, Milton Friedman.
Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice.
Reset it.
All right, wake up. Good morning. Welcome to the Wake Up Tucson show. Look at me. Hey, I just want an update for
your show, Chris.
For Joe and Frank here. Joe brought up with Wendell earlier about this thing about the anal swabs for COVID tests, okay?
No, Ray wanted me to ask.
Ray, that's right. Sorry. Ray did. Yeah. I forgot. So anyway, Bill number two, one of our best researchers, just sent us that the Chinese government has promised to stop doing that to diplomats.
Oh, good.
Thank you.
Thanks, China.
So anyway.
Thanks, G. It's Fang Fang. Thank you.
Joe, you had a...
Talk about being in bed with the communists.
He's on the intelligence committee as a congressman, dude. And they let it just like go away.
Wasn't he one of the guys, the house managers on the impeachment?
Yes.
That's even better.
That's how they plan, dude. They get caught and they go right back at you like, oh yeah, well here you go. I'm going to make him a leader.
And we find the closest bus driver we can find and throw the guy in front of
hilarious.
So, Joe, you had a teaser question for Frank that I had to silence poor Frank from answering because we were going into break. What was that question?
The old days in politics, because we've been covering these things for such a long time. It used to be the presidential candidates on either party would run to the right or the left to get the primary. And then as soon as the primary is over, they move to the middle. Mitt Romney, Bush, whatever. Then when the general election comes, they move more to the middle to kind of unify the country. Trump was the first guy who said, I'm staying on the right. I'm going to win on the right. And when I win the primary, I'm going to the presidency on the right. And he never once blinked from staying to the right. Had he done that once, he would have lost a lot of his support. And he left office with almost a 49-48% approval rating, where Bush left with 20. Frank, is that the new politics we're in, where you're playing to your own base only, and you're just hoping to get everybody across the line?
It's not. Trump wasn't playing only to his base. And this is, again, the misconception the media has created about Donald Trump. Donald Trump was, for whatever people want to call him, he wasn't stupid. He had been listening to what Americans were talking about. Yeah. He listened to talk radio. He listened to the news. He was a news junkie. He watched four TVs, somebody told me at one time, in the Oval Office. They were upset with him because he spent more time watching TV. He had the ability to put his finger on the pulse, of course, because he had his TV shows. He knew the buttons.
Right.
And what he did is he developed...
Which tells you Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Minnesota, right?
He saw the failures of Mitt Romney and John McCain. Right. He saw what you just talked about, that you run as a conservative and then you run to the middle and you lose and you get people angry. They see you as a two-faced politician, a guy that's lying just to get elected to office. He saw that. And he said, look, I'm going to formulate a platform and I'm going to stick to it. And this is what I'm going to run on. And that platform was, people call it a populist platform. You can call it whatever you want, but it was issues that he knew the majority of the Americans that if he went out and talked to them about it, they would agree with that. And that was the style that he ran with. And that used to be the old soapbox method back in the day, you know, when you were running for Congress, you had to walk around and actually talk to people because you didn't have news and you didn't have Twitter and stuff. You actually had to go knock on doors and go to events. And you gain that pulse. The modern technology of this country has distanced politicians from their constituency. And they don't have that tool
anymore.
But
think of the pressure.
They're in the bubble.
Yeah, think of the pressure he had the whole time. We'll move to the right. Well, how about this group? And let's go here. Make a bigger coalition. He just stayed where he was. And I think that's what made him so popular.
His policies were, look, we have been spending billions of dollars helping third-rate regimes that are not very friendly to this country. Why don't we invest that money in America? We are disadvantaging our businesses by doing this so-called open trade, although it was not fair trade, with these countries that are not offering the same in return. Yep. I mean, we're opening our markets to them, but they're not opening our markets to us.
Totally.
Why don't we basically hold them to that same standard? Trump, and this resonated with people. People were like, well, that's right. The elite class in Washington is screwing us over. They're sending our jobs overseas. They're opening our borders and letting people stream in to take the jobs that are left that we have here. And they're like, you know, this guy's going to stop that.
He drove a freight train through it, right?
Yeah,
my parents were the blue-collar Democrats from Wisconsin, the Kennedy Democrats. That party left them.
That paradigm is still going on. And we talked about this last time I was on. Oh, I forgot, it was 9,000 voters changed from public.
Yeah.
That's a blip on the radar.
Right.
And you guys talked about it earlier, the new poll that come out about Hispanics and African-Americans now identifying as Republicans.
Yep.
You have a lot of former Democrats that you know, especially what my parents were telling me this, in Pennsylvania, there is such buyer's remorse in Pennsylvania right now.
Sure.
Because of what's going on. You know, they're all like, oh my God, we made the biggest mistake in the world voting.
I know Republicans right now who are having that buyer's remorse, who left it blank.
Yeah.
Right? They weren't going to vote for Biden, but they left it blank for Trump because, even though they voted for him the first time, because he was mean on his tweets.
Yeah, yeah.
Frank, what did he do wrong in your mind? What could he have done? How did he jump the shark?
He
happened?
He did, you know, he was everybody's flawed. You know, yeah, we're totally. You know, there's
especially
only
get
one,
that level.
There's only, you know, shout out to Doug Martin. There's only one guy that, you know, does it right.
That's me, right?
No, that's
oh, Jesus.
That's
okay.
That's the big, big
gotcha.
Guy. There's, that's what it's at.
I gotcha.
But anyways, everybody else has flaws. They make mistakes.
Seven Hail Marys and two Our Fathers. if you even remember them, I'll email them to you.
So Trump's flaws is ego.
Yeah.
You know, he really cares about what people think about him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the problem. So when somebody attacks him, whether it's on a policy or even a personal level, he comes back and there's a difference between defending yourself and standing up for yourself and then going overboard with responding to that. That was his biggest problem. If he felt as though he should defend himself, he should defend it. But then going after people in some of the crazy ways that he did probably didn't help him.
And he took it up to 11. If he'd stayed at a 9, he'd have been fine.
And people loved that he defended himself. People mm-hmm. loved that he stood up and fought.
He was a New York developer.
Exactly.
A business guy. But you hit me, I'm hitting you twice as hard.
When he started making it and going after these individuals just because they criticized him, you know, that's where a lot of people were not happy about that.
He lost Midwestern women or suburban women. That's where in fact, every suburban woman that I know, including my wife, are the ones I have to have these conversations with. Okay. The mean tweets, but look at everything else, you know?
The other thing that his mistake was that he did not have loyalty in the White House.
Yeah, you're right. He didn't clean shop.
Yeah, that was the other bigger thing because people were giving him bad advice. Mm-hmm. And that was his, you know, his weakness because he was not a politico. He was not a political animal. So he thought that by having those types of people advise him that would help him, but they actually hurt
him. And they kneecap Session, they kneecap Flynn, move out some of those key ones that could have given him strategic advice.
Well, and they blew the first 2 years that he had the House and the Senate.
Yep.
And he had to deal with Paul Ryan and John McCain.
Yep.
And this
tax
is
bill, tax bill, tax bill, Russia, 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 and he lost 2 years.
All right, let's get a couple phone calls in before we go to break. 790-2040. Let's go to Lawrence on line 2. Lawrence, you're on with Chris, Joe, and Frank. What's up?
Yeah, hey, not much. I'm just going to watch what I say because the last time when I was on the radio with Frank, what happened to me at school. Anyway,
God.
Well, what the hell?
People came and talked to me. Everybody, they're little spies out there. So, hey, you liberal wieners out there, go cry to my principal again. And if you have a problem with that, come and see me.
Are you saying teachers were listening to you call in to me and Frank?
Yeah.
And you they ratted you out?
Yeah, so I called up to speak to Frank. Remember we were going bow hunting, Frank? I was going bow hunting, you were bow hunting. And we talked on the Saturday show.
Okay.
So they misconcluded thinking that I was going to, you know, some knucklehead said I was going to go hunt liberals with my bow and arrow. I'm like, no,
really?
I'm going bow hunting to clear my mind. Yeah.
That's what I do. It's a stress reliever.
I said, we can pull tape.
Oh, my Lord.
But that's what I said.
Yeah.
What would you want to talk about today, sir?
You know, you little liberal hack spies out there, come and see me if you have an issue with what I say. I just want to make a comment. I believe it was Nixon that said, you run to the right in your primary. And then when it comes to election, you run more of the center to get the country.
Rush Limbaugh will tell you if you're a Republican and you run to the right, you'll win. And if you're a Democrat and you run to the right, you'll win.
Right.
And
that's correct.
Margaret Thatcher said if you hang out in the middle, you get run over on both sides.
Yeah. Right. That's always been my theory. There's two. There's the right side of the road, the left side of the road, and then the skunk that's run over in the middle,
right,
of the road. Yeah. So that's
you look historically back at Nixon's time. You know, there were really true conservatives in the Democratic Party at that time in the 70s.
Early
70s.
It was the Goldwater wing,
Right, and so I think things have changed now, and I think it is now that, right, Donald Trump had his message resounded with everybody. I mean, there are a lot of people I ran into speaking and still shake their heads.
All right, Lawrence, thanks for the call, man. Have a good weekend.
Hey,
I'll make sure your principal gets a copy of the your phone call, okay? Let's go to Donna on line 3. Donna, you're on with Chris and Frank.
Hi. You know, what makes me crazy is that the Democrats, they all stick together. And then the Republicans, the congressional Republicans, couldn't even vote to get rid of Liz Cheney after she voted to impeach our president. And then she comes out and says, well, we have to make sure people know that the Republicans aren't for white supremacy. Well, where does she get that? Who said the Republicans are for white supremacy? Why is she buying that? They call Trump a racist. How is he a racist? Did you see all the black people at the convention, all the people that love him that are black and Hispanic, and they have the nerve to say he's a racist and accusing us of being white supremacy? How are we white supremacists? Because we believe in true equality, that we don't want to favor one race over another and make everything about race that makes us white supremacists. I don't know.
It goes back to what I was saying earlier. Technology has been bad because we don't meet our constituents. They get in that bubble up in Washington. They're only hearing what the media is saying. They're hearing what the lobbyists are saying. They're hearing what all the talking heads are saying, and they're not listening to what the people back in Wyoming are saying. And she's going to find that out, because I guarantee you, next election cycle, she will have a stiff primary.
Donna, thanks for the call. I got to get one more call in. Let's go to Jeff on line 4. Jeff, you're on with Chris and Frank. Good morning.
Yeah, hi, good morning, guys. I'm going to play off what you just said. One of the biggest problems, maybe the biggest problem, the media is utterly, utterly in the tank in this country. And that's across the board. The one little tiny ray of hope is talk radio. But I'm going to name 3 things that Biden has done in 1 month that are devastating, and you don't hear a peep about it. Gas hit $2.99 last night as I was coming home.
I saw it, $3.01 a gallon. Oh, yep.
Okay. South Dakota, North Dakota, they say 11,000 jobs, whatever the number is, in the stroke of a pen, just gone, and not a peep out of anybody. And the last one is the stock market for the last week now is coming down like a rocket sled on rails. Any one of those should ignite a firestorm. Everyone should just be up in arms. You don't hear a peep about it. As long as the media's in the tank and is willing to and they're not only not willing to do it, actually, to tell you the truth, they're worse than anyone. They promote their own agenda, and it just happens that the Democrats are it.
Yep.
Jeff, thanks for the call, man.
Condition exists. I don't see turning this ship around, man. You know,
great points. You're dead on.
Absolutely. Let's go to break. Let's visit some great sponsors: Frank Antonori, Joe Higgins, Christopher DeSimone. Tipping Point's coming up right after us. Here it is. This goes out to Frank out in PA. It's Striper, To Hell with the Devil. Here we go. This is Frankie driving to high school right now.
Yeah. T-tops off on the the Firebird.
Camaro. T-tops on the
Z-truck. What year was the Camaro?
Well, I had 2 of them. I had a 1989 Camaro, and then when I got back from Desert Storm, I bought a 1991.
Nice.
When I got back. Yeah.
No, I know I asked you this question multiple times, but I want to refresh this question. As you're driving to school with your T-top, listening to this, or, you know, Journey Escape on your cassette player, did you have the necklace, the horn?
Yep, absolutely. Had the silver Italian horn. Absolutely. 100%.
I never had the horn. Everyone, I don't know why. I had a crucifix. Yeah. I had my St. Christopher medal and things like that. So,
where are you taking him with his next question? Because I got one corked up that I've been asking him. It's about this topic.
Look, I'm on the show all the time. So
he's trying to lighten it up a little bit.
Go sit down and go listen.
He's adding levity for
So, Frank.
He's trying to get inside the persona.
Absolutely.
You know.
Crack the onion.
I care about my guest,
that's
Joe.
Right.
Hey, Frank, we're all the same age, right? We're 50. I'm 52. You're 53, you said?
55. Well, 54. I'll be 55
Chris, you're
next month.
39, whatever the heck you are.
Absolutely.
My premise is, and I asked this to Biggs, baby boomers have kind of rung the bell in a lot of our institutions, from our
and
debt load,
them up
right, to our education, to university system, to our military,
Catholic Church,
the Gen Xers, which is basically us, right? We're inheriting this absolute mess. Yeah. And you've run for office. I've ran for office. You've been in office. You've done radio. We've done things. We're in it. We're in business. We're in the middle of it. Where do you start? What do we do? Because hopefully Biden's the last Gen X or boomer that's president, right? Maybe, you know, hopefully he's going to...
Bernie.
The challenge is you have a mindset that's difficult to overcome with our type of generation and stuff. They want to keep to themselves. They want to take care of their family. They want to make sure that they and their family are financially secure. And they're working to do that. And they don't put a lot of calories into a lot of other things. And that's been the challenge. You know, my brothers, I'll tell you the same thing. They're just as political as I am, but they don't do anything. And I go back home to PA, and I'll sit there, and then my brother will be just constantly ranting about this stuff. But all he cares about is his business.
Yeah.
And you know, selling as many boats as he can. You know, that's,
so how many times can you get kicked in the face before
I don't know. Everybody's got their breaking point, but what seems to happen with this group is they tend to just circle the wagons internally rather than go out and fight back. Yeah. They try to insulate themselves from what's going on and protect themselves as much as they can.
Yeah.
And they need to turn it the other way. The left, you know, the boomers like you were talking about, they did the opposite. They said, well, we have to go out now and educate the world on the great things about being, you know, flower children. And
it doesn't stop. They're so insidious. They're in every little nook and cranny, man.
And again,
media.
They also have the perception that they were part of the enlightened generation,
sure,
right? That they know more than everybody else and that you're just ignorant and you don't understand. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna take over these institutions to educate you so that you understand this. And we don't do that. We keep to ourselves. We mind our own business. You know, we tend to, you know, just keep it local.
But historically, there's been times like this before, right? You had the Jackson presidency, Andrew Jackson. You had post-Civil War. So is there like a revival, a resurgence? Are there people like us at our generation or the next one below us or somebody that's going to say, okay, I got schools, which I'm playing in. I got media. What's happening?
I'm hoping.
Me too.
I don't know. I'm hoping that people are going to start to step up.
Me
you know,
too.
Let me ask a question. Who's a Republican? Who are two Republicans on the national scene that you think are getting it right? That's not Trump.
What do you mean? Like in elected
office? Like they're congressmen?
My buddies and fans that I've known for years, so I don't want to be biased, right?
No, but
so,
who's but, one or two like people out there?
I'm liking Getz out of Florida. Very eloquent. Seems like he's...
DeSantis?
Well, DeSantis is doing good, yeah.
What do you think about Rand Paul? Were you on Rand Paul? Hmm.
Rand comes from the libertarian wing of the party, right? Because of his dad, you know, Ron. And they have a good, the basis is libertarian. Libertarians and Republicans are not very far apart.
Right.
There used to be a time when only the legalizing marijuana was the only thing that divided us, right? But other than that, the principles of limited government, you know, let me do what I do in the privacy of my own home. Let that be my business. Government has no business doing anything like that. We kind of agreed on a lot of those principles, but Rand, I like Rand Paul. You know, he just tore apart that gal from Pennsylvania. Well, whatever, I don't want to say.
Yes,
but the individual seeking appointment, and he showed the hypocrisy.
Is Mitch McConnell the poster child of what's wrong with the Republican Party right now?
Boomer.
He's old school.
Boomer.
I understand
yeah,
that.
Yeah. He's the fact that he came out and went on that rant during the impeachment hearing. And then now I saw yesterday that he says that, well, you know, if the guy does get renominated, you know, I got no choice. Because that was the...
But isn't this... You're saying stick to your guns.
No, right? You understand where McConnell's coming from. McConnell's coming from the rule book for Republicans. That's the rule book.
Exactly. And Trump broke the rules, right?
The rule book is... We fight it out in the primary, and whoever wins, we all rally. You know, and that was the game that has destroyed Republicans in Southern Arizona. And I don't want to throw the name of the car dealer out there that helped make that happen, where we all have to rally behind this. But if it's the other guy that wins the primary, for some reason they're absent. They don't do that same thing. But when their guy wins, we all got to come together, kumbaya. We got to rally behind this milk toasty one that we're running. And I know they're milk toasty, but they're the only one that can win because they're milk toasty. Or they check every little block on the, you know, the Hispanic female.
Look how much money we wasted on Martha McSally over the last two years.
That's the problem, right? So if you had a strong conservative win, that support's not there. But then when their guy wins, everybody's got to come and rally behind their guy.
Right,
and
that's
Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
That's Mitch McConnell.
It's not working anymore.
It doesn't work.
And it's a new generation's time to step up.
It's respect and trust.
Yes.
That is what it is. What you don't get when you play that game is you don't get respect and you don't get trust. The American voter says you're a two-faced, flip-flopping, no good, blah, blah, blah,
so
and we can't trust you.
Politics.
We got 20 seconds
all right,
here.
Politics is a trailing indication of where society's at. The driving indication is your churches and your schools. That's that's where you play. That's where you play generationally. But how do we get from A to B?
We're doing great on the schools, so that'll be fun.
Yeah. And the blue states are clamping down now on charter schools.
Oh, yeah.
Hard.
Oh,
seeing it. We know a couple of red and purple ones that are clamping down.
Seeing it all
over. They do not want alternative education.
But we always figure a market. We'll find a market.
Yeah.
We'll
they're clamping down in this state right now.
Yeah. They don't want the charter schools out there undermining the unions and everybody
and
else.
Talking about
the
things.
Indoctrination.
All right. Apostolic blessing time. Yeah. Thank you, both of you. Appreciate
Thanks, Reverend
it.
Chris.
You are welcome.
Pleasure. Fun.
Thank you, Frank and Joe. It was great. We'll see you guys on Monday. Zach's coming up next. Check out anything that you missed on KVOI.com. If you're one of Lawrence's teachers, remember, go to KVOI.com, and you can just send the link right over to your
principal.
Sunnyside.